to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
If your kids wear Disney costumes to the Disney parks, has this ever happened to you?
Mommy dropped my ice cream on my princess dress.
Or this?
Daddy, why is my dress so itchy?
Or even this?
Mommy, my annual dress ripped again.
If these kind of problems slow down your Disney vacation, then check out Mom Approved Costumes. At Mom Approved Costumes, Christy and her staff have tested out each one of the children costumes and can vouch for their safety, machine washability, and non-itchy stitching. They've even been tested in the Walt Disney World washers. So check out Mom Approved Costumes on Facebook and the website momapprovedcostumes.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. All of us at Epcot Center are glad to have you as our guests today. We welcome you and hope you find your day with us to be a most enjoyable one. Walt Disney was a dreamer and a doer, a man who cared about the world and its problems. He believed that people could develop solutions to problems if equipped with information, technology, and opportunity. Epcot Center has been created to showcase prototype concepts and technologies that may someday serve people everywhere. This is the essence of Epcot Center, a collective endeavor by people, for people, in the hope for a better world. From all of us of the Disney family, we hope you enjoy your stay in Epcot Center. And now we ask for your safety and those around you that you walk slowly and carefully to your first destination. Have a great day and welcome to the 21st century.
Hello and welcome to show number 36 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to take a walk around Epcot and play our favorite game, Keep It, Fix It, or Dump It. This is Ed from the Maz Disney blog.
This is Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel.
And Sam from Sam's Disney Diary.
Okay, so in this week's show, we're playing Keep It, Fix It, or Dump It.
So let's set some ground rules first. When we say keep it, that means keep it exactly the way it is for the next 5 years or so. Is that right?
Right. For
okay.
In its current incarnation.
The way it exists right now in June of 2014.
Yes.
That's more difficult to do than you'd think when you really sit down and look at the list of attractions. So, Jimmy, I'll let you go first.
So, for me, it would be the American Adventure. It's my favorite attraction at Epcot, something I have to go see every time. I don't think my wife or my kids would agree with me, but I think it stands the test of time. It's historic, it's emotional. I would keep it just the way it is.
That's a good one. I can kind of agree with that about 99%. It's the last kind of song they do at the end with that movie. That would be the only thing I'd fix, but I think I totally agree with you. Everything else, though.
And Ed, I'm absolutely with you. When I look around the attractions, you know, 95 to 99% I think are perfect, but there's always some little tweak that I want to make to it that I think would be better. But when I look back at it and say, okay, what attractions do I think right now are pretty much spot on? Because I'm pretty critical and want to change a lot of things. There's actually two that are a toss-up for me, and they're not what you would expect. And that's because of wanting to change things. So I'm going to guess that neither one of these are one of yours, Ed. So I'm going to bring them both up. And it's going to sound a little strange, but I like them. Number one, the Seas with Nemo. The portion of it that's the ride. Even though you're going through the old hydrolators and the old Seabase Alpha, I still love that projection system and what they've done to take you through the story of finding Nemo through all of the scenes. You know, you see the shark, the projections are great, and I love the effect where they're projecting Nemo and friends into the real tanks. I just think that's a great spot, and I wouldn't change anything about it. And the other one, surprisingly or not, the Three Caballeros over in Mexico. I just think it's perfect. My kids love it. I love it. I wouldn't change anything about it. So they might sound awkward, but those are my two. Keep it the way it is.
No, as far as the rule goes, that's perfect. I kind of agree with you for both those things.
And, you know, for the Seas with Nemo and Friends, that's one of the attractions you really couldn't, in my opinion, you really couldn't fall under the list of tweaking it or changing it up a little bit. It's either you're going to like it and it's the way it is, or you'd almost have to kill it, because it's not the way that track is laid out with the clamshells and all that. It'd be really hard to just tweak it.
Yeah. The only thing I thought of that was a hesitation is when Finding Dory, the movie, comes out. Does that change or add anything to the storyline? Is there some new character that you want to interject? We don't know that now. We might know that within 5 years, but I still like it the way it is.
I wonder how hard it would be for them to do some type of overlay on that attraction, you know, upcoming, you know, getting coming up to the movie to promote the movie.
I don't know. They could do a lot of different things. However, there are specific rooms in there, like the sub, the jellyfish, the EAC.
The EAC is awesome.
That is really cool.
I could see maybe Turtle Talk with Crush perhaps doing some upcoming Dory stuff maybe in there. They might be able to modify that.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking maybe just throw it in like an extra animatronic, you know, just an extra image in there somewhere with Dory.
Sure.
Maybe something that's even kind of a pun.
That's what I love about that attraction. It's full of puns already. But you should be able to do something at the end, which would sort of like be adding, you know, the latest Toy Story over to Toy Story Mania. They were able to swap it in. I could think so, but...
Have Peach say something about how she wants to go see Dory, the Dory movie.
Sure, right.
Exactly. Get me out of here. I want to go see the movie.
I'd have to agree with the Three Caballeros. I don't think it's a great attraction, but I do think it's way better than what was there previously.
It's night and day over what used to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it was, before it was kind of a Mexican, it's a small world, right?
The addition of Donald just adds so much to that pavilion in general, and it's something that we hit every time, and I wouldn't change it at all.
Right. And to be a little technical, the video is really sharp, and there's a lot of cool things to look for. It took us a couple times through it before we looked over to the left and down to see him swimming underwater.
Yeah.
And that was really ingenious and pretty cool to find.
Some cool hidden Mickeys in there, too. The drums are easy, but there's a bunch of other ones, too.
Oh, yeah. Cool. As far as I think for keeping it, I'm going to keep something that a lot of people don't even go on anymore. But we do every time we get down there. The one I'm going to keep is Ellen's Energy Adventure. Now, it's been there for about, what do you think, guys, 15, 20?
Got to be at least 20
years. But here's the catch to it, why I think this is an attraction that can be kept and why it's still valuable. The lessons taught in it are still valuable today. We haven't found that extra fuel that's going to take us away from petroleum. So to have the kids see an attraction like this and kind of bring those things home is still very, very important. And as far as the Epcot ideals go, this is great. This is perfect exactly where it is, and we should keep this for at least the next 5 years.
It opened in September 1996.
So, yeah, we're almost 20 years.
Yep, almost 20 years.
So the only reason I didn't list it is that animatronic villain in there just drives me nuts.
Yeah,
that needs that. Updated. But no, that you're absolutely right. The themes of the show and what it's about and the fact that the human mind is... Oh, did I give it away that that's the answer to the Jeopardy question? But
uh-oh.
That's...
Stupid, Judy. Stupid energy.
What a great quote.
Okay, so that was some pretty good keep-its, I think, from each of us. So now let's move on to the fix-its. What's something at Epcot that exists today, and to make it last another 5 years, in your opinion, what would you do to fix it? Tweak it, change it. And Jimmy started the last one, so let's start with Sam.
So, fix it. There's lots of things here that I like to fix or tweak or change things to. But let's start with one that I think is the most obvious, and it's Soarin'. Soarin's a great attraction. Love it. Love the way that it's built. Everybody knows the story behind the Imagineer and the Erector Set and how they pulled that all together. But I've really become disappointed in the quality of the video. It's not digital yet. It's time to make that step. You get that one little mark on the film, and it impacts the entire experience. And I really think that we are to the point where Soarin should be able to leverage the same type of technology that we use over at Star Tours, so that when you get onto the attraction, you're soaring not necessarily just over California, but soaring in lots of different locations, and it's random, and there's little segues in it, and I really think that that attraction could go to the next level. So Soarin' is the one that I'm going to pick. Let's at least get digital, right?
You know, that's there's the rumor.
And the new movie's ready to come out soon, isn't it?
We know that they did some filming, right?
Right, yeah.
Because they're adding Soarin' in some carnation over in Hong Kong. And they recently did some flyovers at Disneyland. So the one thing I do love about Soarin', the way it exists today, is that final cutscene where you're coming over Disneyland. It's the Christmas parade. You can see the Matterhorn Mountain over on the right. You can see It's a Small World outside. I absolutely love that scene. But the fact that the latest flyover went over Disneyland and then turned to go over California Adventure with the new Buena Vista Street and Cars Land, I just think that it's incredible what they could be doing. Take that and add to it the fact that the helicopter has been flying around Magic Kingdom in Florida. There's some video on YouTube that you can find that shows it sort of flying from Tomorrowland into the Central Hub area, then coming down the over top of Main Street. I think there's some really cool potential of Disney parks around the world. So I really look forward to what that could turn into and hope that it happens soon, because there's so much potential for that.
I agree. As much as I like the attraction, tweaking that film a little bit, and I like what you said about making it kind of like Star Tours, where it's a new attraction each time you get on it. You're right. Shouldn't be that hard to incorporate that if they make it all digital, and it could really move it to the next level. You're right.
Jimmy, everything I'm talking about is video. The audio, I think, is absolutely perfect. I wouldn't change that at all.
Right, I agree. They'll have to do something different with the audio depending on the new movie, but I think that would be awesome. Out of all the Disney parks, maybe on this ride we'll hit three of them as we fly through the area around them and then through the park themselves. When does anybody have a chance to see Disney Hong Kong or Disneyland Paris or something like that?
Sure.
Tokyo Disney Sea, I'd love to do a flyover.
Yep. Well, we're going to mail this one in. I like this one. Okay, as far as fixing it for me, Soarin' was a good one. I would have said that too. I'm thinking Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth is a great attraction in what it tells us and how it tries to teach us about Earth being a spaceship flying through space. And I've even gotten used to the narration. What I want changed is the ending. Let's modify that. Let's Amen. Change that up a little bit. I would even keep the screens, but let's make it a little bit more modern. Let's make some changes to it so we're not doing the same things. I literally have videos of me doing almost everything now where that shouldn't happen. And so I think they can do that. And it should be relatively simple again, where it's an animation and it's all on computer. So that's what I would definitely fix.
I definitely think I could go, if they're going to redo it, let's change the narration.
Well, I don't want to go overboard because they haven't had her too long, and I don't know how much money they have for this change. However, if they do have an extra couple hundred grand in the bank, I would say that, yeah, the narration could be changed too.
I'm not a fan of hers.
If you did change the narration, though, without going backward, who would you pick?
That's a great question.
Morgan Freeman? Does it go right to there? The Mr. Narrator of the Century?
Or James Earl Jones?
I think it might be a little beyond him at this point.
Gilbert Gottfried.
No.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Who would bring a character in to go take us on the journey?
That's a good question, too.
Somebody that we respect, somebody with wisdom, maybe Merlin. That's random.
Anthony Daniels, C-3PO.
You know who would do good? Who's the in Iron Man 1? Who's the boss? What's his name? He plays Flynn in Tron.
Oh, The dude. Jeff Bridges.
No, not Jeff.
Yeah,
Bridges.
Actually, Jeff Bridges. It is Jeff Bridges, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if I. Yeah, the beginning of Tron starts out with a pretty cool narration.
He's got a very distinct voice.
I don't know. So, anyway, my fix it would be to let's change the end of Spaceship Earth, and at Jimmy's insistence, we'll change the narrator too.
I'd just like to uncover the things that they covered up. That city that used to be on the right-hand side right after the ride vehicles turned backwards, I thought that was incredible just to look at that while you're slowly doing the descent back down. I'd love to just uncover it if it's still under there.
You mean you don't look up at the lights and start tripping about how far you can see in, like, infinity?
Well, I like that. And there's one light, which I probably shouldn't say, that if you're sitting in the right-hand side when it turns around and goes backwards, you can put your hand out and just sort of swing one of those back and forth.
Cool. Okay, Jimmy, so fix it. What would you fix at Epcot?
I think I'm going to have to fix your Ellen Rod.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whoa.
So I like the Ellen Rod. I really do. It's long as hell, but I like it. The issue I have is, well, Sam brought up a good point about the Ellen animatronics, terrible. But in addition to that, you know, being from New Orleans and Ellen is a local girl, the film is so 20 years ago. So I think the film can really use an update. How many kids today get on that attraction and know who Bill Nye the Science Guy is?
I don't know. I see Bill Nye on TV all the time.
Do you?
Granted,
he's
talking about creationists versus evolutionists,
yeah,
but
he's not on Nickelodeon, the Disney Channel anymore, right?
But I actually know some teachers that use his videos, too. We have an account at school
really?
For Bill Nye the Science Guy. Sure. I mean, I'm not saying he's as well-known as he was when he had the TV show. No, not at all. But
right.
He's out there.
Well, I think the video could be revamped.
Okay, well,
newer-looking Ellen.
True, although... Yeah, I guess you would look older. I don't know how much difference the message would be, or how much different the message would be nowadays.
I don't know that I'd change the message. I would update it.
So I think that the three of us should ride this attraction. I will record the two of you arguing over the scenes that need updated and should be redone. That's a future show. That'll be great.
I bet I win.
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of agree with you as far as the Ellen animatronic. I was kind of ignoring that because I still thought the message was pretty good in there. But maybe I might have to lean a little toward fixing it. So now we're going to move on to our third category for the night, and that's to dump it. What attraction at Epcot, as of today, has to be dumped? Cannot last, should not be there, is an abomination. What do you think?
That's some strong words. I agree. An abomination.
You take that from the beginning to the end, and I don't think I'm going to have too much argument on this. I would dump the Imagination Pavilion. I would say that's a pavilion, Captain EO included, that needs to be repurposed. or rethought out, redesigned. Let's open the upstairs back up again. Let's take full advantage of that entire pavilion. It's such a beautiful building.
Bring back Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
No, not even close.
I was just joking.
You're absolutely spot on. When you look at that attraction and the way it exists today, as soon as Kodak moved out as the sponsor, I mean, that's the kiss of death for any of those attractions, those pavilions, is losing a sponsor. When you exit the attraction, it's absolutely a wasteland. There's nothing there. You walk through a bunch of computer screens that are Sierra 1992, where there's a little mouse tracking device where the kids can build a Figment and email it to themselves. I mean, this is nowhere near a kiosk or a touchscreen. It's just put it out of its misery, get it over with, bring something else in there. Obviously, nobody wants to lose Figment. Everyone wants to see the Dreamfinder come back. Just get it out of its misery. It's tough.
The only saving grace that I see in that pavilion as far as those attractions or those things downstairs where you can kind of play with are the ones with the instruments. I think that's cool. I think seeing a kid figure that whole instrument thing out when you stick your hand between the two bars and you move it back and forth, control the instrument with motion, I think that's probably the most technologically advanced thing they have in there, and it shows. You're right, it's getting a little dingy down there too.
I get your point, but I think if I can do that with my Wii at home and hold my little screen up and point it to something. And it's not new. It's not groundbreaking technology anymore.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? You are right.
it's that stuff. It was awesome in 1991. Let's not be wrong, right? It was incredible when that attraction and that pavilion opened.
Okay.
But it's been. And you know what else I miss about that? The original pre-show movie.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite songs.
True Colors.
Yes. Incredible.
I posted there's a YouTube video. Somebody posted YouTube of the original attraction out there, the original pre-show, and I have a link for it. I throw it up on the Facebook page, or I'll blog about it, just to keep it current. People love to hear it.
It's an incredible Kodak moment from back then, right? It just you don't see anymore. Kodak's one of those technologies just sort of went away from relevance and didn't move themselves into the next media of being digital photography and all that good stuff.
What's that thing, that stuff called film?
Yeah, exactly. 35 millimeter, make sure you keep that. Don't put it through the X-Mayer machine at the airport. That is something I remember.
I tried explaining that whole film thing to my daughter the other day about how you actually had to take rolls with you and keep track of them and not take 100 pictures.
Yes.
Huh. Okay, well, anyway, let's continue. That was my dump it. I think Sam's up next.
Am I up next? So imagination was my dump it too, but I'll add another one because I always have some other things that I'm looking to dump. And I don't know if you call this a dump it or tweak it or whatever, but just like when imagination lost Kodak as a sponsor, it was the kiss of death. It's the same thing that happened to Wonders of Life when MetLife dropped its sponsorship. And now it sits empty three quarters of the year, and it's the festival center during Food and Wine and Flower and Garden, which means it's at least used for something.
I was about to say, at this point, it means it sits empty for half the year.
Yeah, you're right. It's getting more to half. But even when I go in there, I look for Body Wars in the back corner and try to figure out if I can sneak in there or not. And I love the fact that the restaurant's been opened again, right? Because that was closed for a while, and you could see all the equipment in the back. Now they do some wine sampling and things like that. So the Festival Center, the old Wonders of Life, let's do something permanently with that.
Yep.
Whatever it might be is fine with me, but that was the second on my list as far as kill it.
So for me, it would be the, and it's twofold, both of the stand-up movies in the World Showcase. Oh, Canada.
That's just lazy.
Yeah, well, so be it. I'm lazy. But I don't want to stand in there and lean on a pole and watch a Circle Vision movie with Martin Short in it. And I certainly don't want to watch the one in China either. So I get rid of both of those. Get rid of them. Do something else with that space. Put an attraction in there. Put a seated movie. Do something else with the space.
So are you saying you don't like the movies or don't like the fact that you need to stand up?
The movie, and it's been so long since I've seen the one in China, I couldn't really speak to it because I won't go in it. The one in Canada, I vaguely remember, but I mean, it's getting old anyway, with Martin Short. But I certainly don't like the idea of having to go in there and stand. Or lean.
I have a fast pass for Soarin'. I gotta go.
I'd rather drink 15 shots of Beverly than stand up and watch O Canada.
Wow, that's deep hatred.
That is.
I actually like both of those. I think they're good. You're abomination, of course.
I haven't seen the China film in a while, I have to admit. The Canada film I see every couple of trips. The China, it's been a while. Yeah.
I almost want to say, and this is kind of an odd way to say it, but I like the adventure of watching those movies, of being able to turn around and choose what I'm going to watch in that 360-degree environment, as opposed to what the director is making me watch when I sit down and have to watch the movie in front of me. I think it's great to be able to turn around and see where you've been, especially in those big, big vista scenes. I don't know. I don't know if we can dump this one.
Well, you know what?
I tell you what, though. What if we put chairs in there? Big revolving, like, Lazy Boys.
I'm all
in. Time.
I am all in. I'll watch it every trip.
We'll make them spin. Well, have the Buzz Lightyear controls in there, so, and you can spin it around.
Well, let me tell you, if that was the case, then, Sam, we would have to start drinking around the world at Mexico. That way we could end in Canada and just go spin around in the chairs.
Then you'll have to take a wastebasket in with you, too.
Right.
Is there a cup holder in the chair?
Right. Oh, there you go. If we put cup holders in the chair, then we can start there. Grab a beer, sit in a chair, and spin around and watch the movie. I'm all in then.
No, I mean, but that's a tough one. Once you get through Imagination and Festival Center, what do you kill? It makes it tough. Jimmy might have the best next two.
Well, how about the Circle of Life movie over in the Land Pavilion?
That's
been in there a while, and you know, to be honest with you, some of that video really reminds me of things I remember seeing in the 70s when it was Give a Hoot, Don't Pollute time.
Oh, man.
And it was as if it was the same sludge and the smoke and everything that we were watching in those school movies.
So is that a kill it or just a change it into the film and make it more relevant?
Well, I would actually, I don't know if that would be a kill it or change it, because if you take the whole Lion King theme movie out of there and you make it another theme about something else about the land or the environment.
Yeah, you pretty much kill it.
Right, and bring in something new in there. Either way,
I would say if your plan is to bring back another movie, then it's just changing it. If you want to do something completely different with the space, okay, then you're killing it.
Right, and there's not a lot you really can do in there. Maybe a 3D movie or something like that. Laser show.
Can you put food rocks in there?
Food rocks.
Again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there are some things that
I'd love
to bring back.
I think they could bring it back.
How about a modern version of something that way?
I think
I don't know if you can get away from the theater effect in there, but you're right. You probably could put a stage in the front of that. I don't know. But as far as other killets, what other kind of killets do we have? You see, now, the one I would actually say, which I'm going to take a lot of flack for, is perhaps Maelstrom. Although I really don't know what else I would put in there, so I would hate to take it out and not replace it with anything. But I think you could update Maelstrom.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sam's mentioned this in the past. The movie has got to change. I mean, I've never been there, but I know that movie's 20, 30 years old, or looks it.
You've never watched the movie?
Oh, I always watch it, but I'm saying, you could tell.
Been in Norway.
Oh, you've never been in Norway, so you don't know.
Right,
when
and I could tell those people look to be 30 years old as far as the fashions go and what's going on in there.
Well, maybe they're just 30 years behind the times.
No.
And the movie's just, current.
No. So.
And we limited this to attractions. If you go outside of attractions, there's other things, but we'll save those for another show.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, so now we've gone through Epcot, and we've kept some things, we've fixed some things, we've dumped some things. Now, before we finish the show for tonight, what would be something that we would bring back to Epcot? Something that was there before, an attraction that we really liked or we thought was really valuable that ended up going away?
I really think this is a whole show.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
It is a whole show.
Let's go around real quick and do something. Let's do one per person, and we won't go into a lot of details about it, but you know what? We'll put this on the list of shows to do down the road.
All right, Sam, go.
What are you bringing back to Epcot. There's so many things that are gone.
You already said Food Rock, so don't use that one.
Food Rock. Yeah, yeah. Well, I would, but that's not going to be number one on my list.
Okay.
I think there's some defaults that everybody jumps to and says, hey, I'd bring this back or the other thing back. So if I think back to what I really liked about Epcot the first time I was there in 1986, I go back to World of Motion. I absolutely loved it. And let me tell you why. It reminds me of those early Goofy cartoons, or maybe not so early, but in the 40s, early 50s, where Goofy playing baseball or Goofy playing football or How to Sleep is a great one. If you go to YouTube and look for Goofy How to Sleep, there's a narrator that talks about, you know, how that you should go to sleep, or in the case of World of Motion, the history of transportation and how great things were. And the narrator's really serious as he talks about the different scenes. But as you're going through World of Motion, the attraction, what you're hearing is how great it was. And what you're seeing is a whimsical, comedic look at the first traffic jam or how the wheel was invented. And I just thought it was so entertaining, and it just captured me as a teenager at the time. I absolutely love World of Motion.
What about you, Jimmy? What would you bring back?
Jeremy Irons.
Oh, the narrator in Spaceship Earth.
Nice. Along with that attraction at the time, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with the current attraction. I agree with what Ed talked about earlier and changing the little video system and stuff like that, but the narration really gets to me. You know what? I don't hate Judi Dench. I'm a huge James Bond fan. And I like her in the movies. It seems like that whole narration, she's talking down to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of condescending.
You can thank the Venetians.
But you remember Jeremy Irons? The grand and miraculous, and he's got that great accent.
I loved Walter Cronkite.
You know, I don't remember Walt. I mean,
I was going to say the same thing. I'd have to go back and listen to like YouTube or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember riding it in the Jeremy Irons incarnation.
Right. Okay. I would bring back, you know, there's a lot of things I would bring back to Epcot. And it's kind of a tough decision, so it's good that we're not going to do a whole show on it
Food
today.
Rocks.
But we're going to. Food Rocks, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Kitchen Cabaret.
Yeah. No. Oh, don't even start singing the song. Jeez.
There you go, Jimmy. I'm in.
I think I'd bring back Cranium Command.
Nice.
And I think the value of Cranium Command really doesn't go away in that it is a young boy, or, you know, it could be a girl even in the new reincarnation of it. And you know what? Let's put that over in the Circle of Life Theater and build that up in the front. And there you go. We have the replacement now. Yes.
Cranium Command was basically Star Tours.
No.
Oh,
actually,
that was Body Wars.
Body Wars, right. Cranium Command was the attraction in the Wonders of Life Pavilion that you went into the theater and sat down, and in front of you there were a lot of different video screens. And basically what you're told as the story begins is that you're inside the head of an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old boy. And from the moment he wakes up, all the different parts of his body are communicating with each other to get him moving and out the door. And each of those parts of the body was a different type of mechanical device that would light up, or you would see the actor in the window where you would have the stomach, the brain, the emotions, things like that, the heart, and basically the things that would get a young man going in the morning. Really funny stuff. And the stars at the time were very, very appropriate. Norm from Cheers, I remember, was in it. Some of the other guys were definitely, I would remember again. I'd have
Hans
to see it again.
And Franz were in it.
Right. The guys from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and I think that was almost the death of the attraction. It was so rooted in the 80s. Once you got to the mid to late 90s, it just felt so dated. But it was a great attraction at the time. It really was. But Hans and Franz references for the muscles, it's great.
Yeah. No, it was a really, really fun attraction. And like I said, it had a message. And that's like the best thing you can get out of Epcot.
Yep, I agree.
So that's it for show number 36. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments about what you would fix, keep, or dump, or even bring back to Epcot, send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Stop by our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds podcast page, or the Disney Nerds group page. Either way, stop by and say hello.
Also, check out our website, thedisneynerds.com.
Thanks for listening, guys. You're awesome. Give us some show ideas over on Facebook, and we'll talk to you next time. See ya.
Quaharini.
Kungaloosh!
Thank you. And may all your dreams come true.